Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Hare Krishna. I've been asked to speak on the glories of Damodar months, otherwise known as Kartik. Anyone who chants the name of Krishna with pure love and devotion during the month of Damodar is guaranteed to go back home, back to Godhead. Of course, if anyone chants the holy name of Krishna with pure love and devotion in any month, they're guaranteed to go back to Godhead. So the real thing is pure love and devotion. There are many facilities offered within Shastra to induce people to perform religious principles. Practically any holy place that you go to, it's said that in the Sthala Purana or the local tradition, it's stated that if you bathe here, it's equivalent to giving away 20 lakhs of cows at Prayag, at the auspicious constellation, or if you spend 1 day in this place, it's equivalent to visiting all the tirthas. We'll find in Shastra, in Bhishma's instructions, he speaks about different kinds of dhanam, charity, that one should give. If one, vidyadan, this is better than any other. He goes into a big long description. It's better than anadan. And then he comes to anadan and says, better than all others, including vidyadan. So this may be somewhat confusing. In Shastra also, there are similar incentives for observing Kartik months. It's stated that if one follows this, that one's punya will be increased, one is sure to go to Swargaloka. If one does not observe, then one is sure to go to hell. These statements are not for pure devotees. They may help people too. Anyone whose cell phone goes off in the temple during any month loses all the results of... Let's think of some really nasty thing. Anyway, it can't destroy bhakti, but it might disturb the discussions about bhakti. So that becomes pratikul, becomes a disturbance in the path of bhakti. So please, everyone, turn your cell phone off. Everyone has a cell phone. Everyone from the age of about 4 has a cell phone. So kindly, if you haven't already done so, turn it off, put it in silent mode, or do whatever is required to not disturb with the ringing of the cell phone. The prescriptions for Kartik month may help even non-devotees to become devotees, because these specific observances are conducive to bhakti, or bring people closer to bhakti. One of the main observances for the month of Kartik is to live in Mathura. So many devotees go to Mathura, Vrindavan during this time, and to visit Mathura is always conducive to bhakti. So certain vows are supposed to be performed. One should give up all forms of sense gratification. But of course, for one who's serious in bhakti, they'll do that anyway. Srila Prabhupada wrote in one letter that the prescriptions offered for Kartik months are, he gave the example, Prabhupada was in America. He'd been living in America at this time, for some time. And he said that it's just like a shop, a store, they offer some, for 1 month, there's some special sale. And he said that the idea of the special sale, it's for a limited period. So people think, oh, I'd better do it now, otherwise I won't get the opportunity. Now I can buy 3 pairs of shoes for the price of 2, although I only have 2 legs to wear them with. But, or I can get a 50% discount. So let me do it. It's only for a limited period. If I don't do it, then I won't get the opportunity. So, of course, I'm elaborating a little on the example that Prabhupada gave. So Srila Prabhupada said that the idea is to attract new customers. But for those who, if the store is actually a good store and it has good goods, then those who are already regular customers, they know the value and the sale is not required for them. They already know it's of value. So Srila Prabhupada said, for those who are already fully practicing devotional service, there's no particular need. You're already doing that. So that's, as far as I know, a unique observation on Kartik month from Srila Prabhupada. I don't know if any other previous acharyas have given that understanding, but the point that Srila Prabhupada is making is that one should be in pure devotional service. That is the actual point. And if one is in pure devotional service, that is always pleasing to Krishna. So Kartik month observances, they are particularly for devotees who are not in pure devotional service, who are not fully engaged in devotional service. For them, the idea that, well, any activity in devotion that's performed during this month, I get more results. But again, this concept of you get something cheap, you get something, some special facility. During this month, you can buy potato. No, they don't sell potatoes in sales. But you can buy some electronic devices at a special price. You won't get that facility otherwise. So take the opportunity now. So like that, the idea is to induce people to take it up. And people who are not already fully engaged in devotional service, they think, all right, let me increase my devotional practices. I'll get more from it. I'll get more for my money's worth. If I chant Hare Krishna in another month, okay. But if I chant it in this month, I'll get the value of chanting Hare Krishna more. But the real standard to come to is that of Rupa Goswami, who says that I wish I had 1,000 tongues and 1,000 pairs of ears so that I could always be chanting and hearing the holy names. Not that I've got my rounds to chant and chant them and finish, and then I'll get the result, and then I can do whatever I like the rest of the time. As Srila Prabhupada once jokingly said, he was chanting, he put down his beads and said, now I've finished my 16 rounds, I can do any damn thing I like. So this, Srila Prabhupada was parodying an attitude that devotees say, I've finished my rounds. How many rounds have you chanted? I've finished my rounds. Great, it's over. Now I can get on with life. Now I can get on with the really important things that I have to do. So Srila Prabhupada, it seems he was parodying this attitude. So nevertheless, the month of Kartik, Damodar, is special for devotees. It's special for remembering the Damodar Leela of Krishna, of his being tied by Mother Yashoda, this extraordinary pastime. All of Krishna's pastimes are extraordinary. That Krishna, who is the controller of everything, was tied by his ropes. There are no ropes which can tie Krishna. So he was actually tied by the ropes of love. Pranaya rasaya, rasana, that's described in the Bhagavatam. No, not in this section. That he is tied by the ropes of love. So this is the contrast that is repeatedly presented in Srimad Bhagavatam of Krishna being the supreme controller, far greater than anyone else or anything else, categorically different to everyone and everything in being the overlord of everything, but becoming subordinate to his devotees because of their love for him. This is the greatest glory of Krishna. Not, his glories are not in themselves as glorious as his glories of power and opulence. They're not as glorious or not as attractive to pure devotees as his mercy upon his devotees. So this is exemplified in the pastime of allowing himself to be tied with ropes. Although who can tie him up? No one can tie him. So he was tied by the ropes of love by Mother Yashoda. And in every month there are different pastimes of Krishna. This one is particularly remembered during this month. There's also at this time, we also during this period, there's also Krishna's Sharadiya Rasa Nritya, his autumnal circular dance with the gopis. But particularly this month is for remembering Damodar Leela, offering a light to Damodar. This will certainly increase our devotion to Krishna. These are activities that people may take them up, visiting Mathura, offering a light to Damodar with the idea that I will be benefited by doing so, and everyone will be benefited by doing so. Anyone who offers a lamp to Krishna, for whatever motive, they will naturally, by doing so, even if one is doing so with the aim of let me get some facility, material facility from Krishna, but just because the natural attraction for the jiva is toward Krishna. So that, at least to some extent, that will be awoken just by coming into contact with Krishna. Of course, we don't encourage people to approach Krishna for material reasons, materialistic reasons, but even if people do so, they will be benefited. Or even if people have this idea that, all right, let me do bhakti more during Kartik so that I can get more benefit. So I with less effort, I'll get the goal. I'll get to the goal, which is, it's a bit of a strange idea that I'll do more bhakti in this month because I get more benefit. And then I'll go back to doing what I'm... Just like these... Ayappas, who are famous here in South India, these Ayappa worshippers, they, for 40 days or whatever it is, they become vegetarian and they follow all these rules, and then when it's over, back to usual. So there's no actual purification. But Krishna consciousness, the idea is that if one can actually come in contact with pure devotees of Krishna, and actually have exposure to the process of pure devotion, then by these increased activities in devotional service, one will not want to decrease. That should be the real point. That you do extra activities during Kartik, and then, well, why stop? If they're conducive to pure devotional service, so why not continue? If you can chant 64 rounds a day in Kartik, then why stop? Go on. Of course, the only reason there might be to stop is to spend time for preaching Krishna consciousness. Just like many years ago, that's probably during the 1970s, I heard His Holiness Jayapataka Swami in a class in Calcutta, I believe it was, where he said that he told Srila Prabhupada very gladly that, "Prabhupada, I'm chanting 32 rounds a day." And Srila Prabhupada told him, "You should chant 16 rounds and go out and preach." So, for one who's fully engaged in devotional service, all these inducements, go to Mathura, go to Vrindavan, that may not be necessary, because a devotee always lived in Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada left Vrindavan. Everyone knows Prabhupada left Vrindavan and went to America. But his connection with Vrindavan, even while in America, that most godless of places, was more than many people who were living in Vrindavan, because of his attitude of service to Vrindavan. Vrindavan means the attitude of service to Krishna, selfless service to Krishna. The atmosphere in Vrindavan, if one can catch that, if one can actually tune oneself to that tuning, does anyone know, anyone remember what that means? Shortwave radio. If anyone can tune oneself to that wavelength, then one can catch the mood of selfless service to Krishna, which is Vrindavan. If one is not attuned to that wavelength, one may instead be influenced by the static or the disturbance that covers the... Just like in a shortwave radio tuning, you're trying to tune in, you have to get just on the right point to get the radio station, otherwise you'll be influenced by other stations and by static. So similarly, one may go to Vrindavan and be influenced by various materialistic people. I mean, sentimentally we might say that everyone in Vrindavan is a great pure devotee, but realistically speaking, of course, what is realism in Vrindavan may not be exactly what we think is realism. But realistically speaking, there are many people who go to Vrindavan to take advantage of people's sentiments and empty their pockets of whatever money they have. And although that might be considered beneficial to lose all your money, so you can only depend on Krishna, but the people who go there, they are not doing it to help you advance in devotional service. They're doing it to increase their bank balance and increase their opportunities for enjoying sense gratification. And there are many people in Vrindavan who are Mayavadis, Prakriti Sahajiyas, murderers, there's the land mafia, there's all kinds of ungodly things going on. So even if one does go to Vrindavan or Mathura, if one is not able to tune in to the pure devotional band, what's that called? Bandwidth? Frequency. Then one may be detrimentally influenced. Always to go to Vrindavan or Mathura is beneficial. But the other influences may distract one from devotional service. So tishtev raje, what is that tishtev raje? Tadanugami. What is that verse? What is that from Upadeshamita? Tishtev raje tadanugami. Well, one should be under the shelter of one should live in Vrindavan under the shelter of a devotee. Otherwise, it may be very dangerous. One may not get the actual result of devotion. And that's true for all practices. Chanting Hare Krishna, studying Srimad Bhagavatam, unless we are in contact with pure devotees, even chanting Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada in that famous address which he gives concerning the Hare Krishna mantra, says that chanting, however, should be heard from the lips of a pure devotee. Otherwise, one should avoid hearing from the lips of non-devotee, just as milk touched by a serpent causes poisonous effect. Srila Prabhupada was paraphrasing this verse of Sanatan Goswami, Avaishnava Mukhodgirnam Putam Harikatam Ritam Shravanam Naiva Kartavya Sarpo Chishta Yatapayam. He says, Shravanam Naiva Kartavya. It is one's duty not to hear. What should one not hear? And the previous line is, Putam Harikatam Ritam. Harikatha, which by its very nature is pure. Sanatana Goswami says, it is your duty not to hear it. It's right there, you can see it. It's quoted from Hari Bhakti Vilas. It's Prabhupada quoted it many times in his books. Right? You all heard that verse? Do not hear Harikatha. Unless, if we give the rest of the verse, we can understand. That Avaishnava Mukhodgirnam, that which comes from the mouth of a non-devotee, don't hear Harikatha from such a person. Because Sarpo Chishtam Yatapaya, it is like milk touched by the lips of a snake, which causes a poisonous effect. The milk, which is very pure, very nourishing, becomes poisonous if touched by a serpent. Of course, the milk, its nature is pure, but when it becomes mixed with the poison of a snake, then the poison affects us more than the Harikatha, or actually that may be considered not to be Harikatha at all. It's like Putana smiling at Krishna with a nice smile, but it looks like she's performing bhakti, but her bhakti is, her intention is to kill Krishna, so it's only a semblance. It looks like the real thing, but it isn't. So one should hear the chanting of Hare Krishna from pure devotees, from actual devotees. The same thing that Sarup Damodar, the associate of the, or the secretary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, told the poet from Bengal, that Jao Bhagavata Paro Vaishnavara Sthane. He said that you go and study Srimad Bhagavatam from a Vaishnava. So obviously this poet knew something about the Bhagavat, or had heard it, but not from a properly situated Vaishnava. Therefore, his concept of Srimad Bhagavatam was mixed with impersonalistic ideas. And therefore, in the name of glorifying Jagannath and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is what he thought he was doing, he was actually blaspheming them. You can read about this in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Antilila. There are many subtle points of Krishna consciousness given in there, which if we don't understand, we may be subtly misled by Maya into think that we're doing bhakti when we're not. Like the poet from Bengal thought that I've composed a beautiful drama about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but on hearing the first verse, Sarup Damodar told him, you're completely off, misguided. So study Bhagavat, Srimad Bhagavatam from a Vaishnava. In this way, one can actually enter into the spirit of an understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, like this, Srila Prabhupada, he's given the understanding, Kartik month, for one who is fully engaged in devotional service, there's no need of any inducement. But for those who are not, they become more enthusiastic. Oh yes, during this month, I can get more benefit. It's the idea, I'll do this, and I'll chant, and I'll fast, and I'll break down the doors of Vaikuntha and smash my way in. So during Kartik, I get some extra shakti for my assault on Vaikuntha. So this idea that you get more benefit, but the real benefit comes from pleasing Krishna. That we should know. That in any month, in any time, in any place, in any circumstance, we have to please Krishna. So this mood of pleasing Krishna, that is imparted by devotees. They understand the inner meaning or the secret of devotional service. So they're able to impart that. Otherwise, we might have an almost mundane approach that I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to get more advantage, almost like the Karmakanda followers, that they're very anxious to take advantage of certain constellations, certain times, to perform various activities of punya so that they can get more result. They're always concerned with stocking up their bank balance of punya so that they can go to heaven and enjoy there. But bhakti it's a different approach altogether. So even in Hari Bhakti Vilas, there are many verses which have similar statements that if you follow this in Kartik, your punya will increase. So that's for inducing non-devotees. For those who are devotees, they of course always like to go to Mathura Vrindavan, which is very dear to Krishna and very dear to all the Vaishnavas. This month is a month especially for remembering Damodar Leela, and of course in other months we remember other pastimes. And the last major observances were the Janmashtami, Nandotsav, which we celebrate as Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja, and Sri Radhashtami. So like this, throughout the year there are various observances in relationship to Krishna, but in this month, if it's recommended, perform some extra austerities, live in Vrindavan, or at least if we can visit Vrindavan, offer a light to Krishna, sing Damodar Ashtakam. So this is very nice. We should all do this. We shouldn't think, well, I'm already a pure devotee, so I don't have to do anything extra. Rather, we can take advantage of this and perform the extra activities for Damodar months. Srila Prabhupada himself, during 1970, I believe it was, spent the whole month of Damodar in Vrindavan. He took his disciples, mostly Western disciples at that time, to various sites of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, and lectured daily on the nectar of devotion to his disciples in English. Of course, mostly from America, they didn't understand Hindi. Prabhupada was lecturing. Many local people came also, but Prabhupada lectured, as he almost always did in India, in English, for the benefit of his Western disciples. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also, after accepting sannyas and founding the Gauriya Math, he at least twice spent the whole month of Damodar, Kartik month, in Mathura, Vrindavan, once at Radha Kund. And during the second of these periods, although he was very circumspect or cautious about introducing his disciples to higher levels, what we could call higher levels of devotion or intimate levels of Krishna consciousness, during this month he had devotees sing songs from the latter part of Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Bhajan Rahasya, which deals with some more intimate stages of Krishna consciousness. Although this was never preached outside, but among his disciples, and they were mostly who were with him at that time, there were some intimate disciples who had been with him many years. Then at this point in Vrindavan, actually in Radhakund, then he had the devotees sing these songs. Although outside he lectured at Radhakund on the Upanishads, which was shocking, you might say. As generally considered that the Upanishads are not for devotees who want to relish the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, rather they are is generally considered that they are, well, it depends who's considering. The Mayavadis, they consider the Upanishads to be expounding the impersonal Brahman, and that's also stated in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yadadvaitam Brahma Upanishadi Apitadasya Tanubha. The impersonal Brahman, or the non-differentiated impersonal Brahman described in the Upanishads, is the bodily effulgence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vrajetishtetadanuragijananugami. That's one should live in Vrindavan being a follower of a Ragatmika Bhakta, pure devotee of Krishna. So, yeah, and then the Vaishnavas of other sampradayas, they also expound on the Upanishads in a completely different way. But the Gauriya Vaishnavas, traditionally, they haven't much expounded on the Upanishads, seeing the Srimad Bhagavatam as the essence of all scripture. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, among the Babajis at Radhakunda, who considered themselves far above discussion of the Upanishads, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur discoursed on the Upanishads at Radhakunda. He was always provoking controversy, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Yeah, but internally he would discuss these. He would have his disciples, certain of his disciples, sing the higher levels, then he would discuss them, and that has continued within the Gauriya Math diaspora up to the present day, that although they generally, they are still up to the present day very cautious about speaking about the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna in public or even among themselves, it depends who's there, but some senior and advanced devotees among themselves might discuss such topics, but not generally among neophytes. But during Kartik month, they will sing these from the last stages of Bhajan Rahasya. And in this way, under the shelter of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who provided a bridge, by his teachings, provided a bridge between forgetfulness of Krishna and the highest stages of Krishna consciousness. Of course, a bridge means you have to go across it step by step. It's not a it's not a leap, that by one leap you go, but the bridge means you have to cross it step by step. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur addressed his teachings to all levels, from those not even in Krishna consciousness, or those imitating Krishna consciousness, or even those against Krishna consciousness, to pure devotion and the upper stages of pure devotional service, or in service to Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. So, within our sampradaya, traditionally devotees, they aspired to live in Mathura, Vrindavan. Many left their homes and went and lived there. At least in old age, they would go to Mathura, Vrindavan, or non-different to that, Mayapur Navadip or Puri Dham, which is the separation pastime place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, by living in Puri and worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one can serve him in his pastimes of separation from Krishna. So that is these three places. Vrindavan. By Vrindavan we generally mean Mathura Mandal, and especially Gauriya Vaishnavas, they tend to congregate at Govardhan and Sri Radha Kunda. And within the what is now the town and expanding metropolis of Vrindavan. So that area, and within Gaura Mandal, especially Mayapur Navadip and Puri. So these three areas are special for Gauriya Vaishnavas. So what Shastra specifically states that during Kartik one should reside in Mathura. So many, like I say, the Kartik observance is there to induce people to do what one should be doing all the time. Chishte Raje, live in Vrindavan, stay in Vrindavan. So one should do that all the time. If one is not able to do so, one should do so in spirit by making one's home Vrindavan. Like Bhaktivinoda, there's a very interesting comment by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He gave a list of names of devotees, including Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur, Jagannath Das Babaji, Bhagavan Das Babaji, and others who didn't live in Vrindavan, but who physically did not appear to live in Vrindavan, but actually they didn't live anywhere else except Vrindavan. Bhaktivinoda Thakur built a house in Calcutta. But that house, especially during the manifest presence of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, then the benefit one could have by being there in the association of Bhaktivinoda might be far greater than living in what is Vrindavan, if one is not in the association of pure devotees. So, one should aspire to live in Vrindavan. And those who are old and retired, if you're not going to go and preach, go and preach like Prabhupada. If you're old and retired, then take Prabhupada's example and go out in the world and spread Krishna consciousness. Or if you're not going to do that, then live in Vrindavan. Or at least during Kartik, live in Vrindavan. And chant extra rounds. Actually, you can do it every month. So, during this month especially, the offer is there. Chant more. Perform austerities. Give up sense gratification. And you'll get more benefit, more advancement in devotional service. So, yeah, let everyone do it. Actually, during Srila Prabhupada's manifest presence, there wasn't much difference for devotees before and Kartik, or during Kartik and at any other time. Devotees were fully engaged, which is why Prabhupada wrote the letter. Devotee, at that time, in almost all cases, meant living in the temple and busy, very busy in preaching. And Srila Prabhupada himself was very busy in preaching. So he didn't, apart from that one time when he went with his disciples, about 1970, he spent a month in Vrindavan. He didn't perform any other extra activities during Kartik, but he was always fully engaged and kept his disciples fully engaged. But if you're not fully engaged, then why not do something extra during this month? This month is also called Urja, which is also connected with Srimati Radharani. This month is also very dear to her, because anything dear to Krishna is very dear to her. So this month, especially as for remembering Krishna's childhood pastimes, so she's also very pleased. If Krishna is pleased, so we can especially remember her during this month also. So minimally, everyone during this month should offer a dipam, a lamp, to Damodar, and sing daily the Damodar Ashtakam prayer to him. And if you want, you can perform some extra austerities. Give up any bad habits that we have. That's better than performing austerities, some extra austerities, such as, for instance, some devotees do things like they eat only khichdi without salt or vegetables for a month. They eat once a day. So you could do that. That's an example of a common kind of austerity that's performed. But better than that would be to give up specific bad habits that impede the advancement in devotional service. For instance, it's become a norm throughout our society, which was not even considered during Srila Prabhupada's manifest presence, but nowadays it's become normal for devotees to buy biscuits and bread and various sweets and other items. By sweets, I mean like Cadbury's chocolates and Kit Kat and all this kind of thing from shops, and maybe they offer it to Krishna. I don't know if Krishna eats that kind of thing. And anyway, they eat it. So if you have this kind of bad habit, maybe you don't even know it's a bad habit because no one even told you, but better to give that up during Kartik rather than doing, you know, going on to some very high level, which first of all, come up to the regular level. That's a good suggestion. Rather than being at the sub-level, which has somehow or other become the accepted level. But it's not, I mean, it might be accepted among the body of devotees as we have it today, but it was never accepted by Srila Prabhupada. And it was not accepted by Shastra or all the previous acharyas. So it appears that we are in danger of becoming an upper sampradaya if we don't follow what is given by Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. You may think, well, it's a small thing. That's what everyone says about everything. Oh, it's a small thing. Don't worry about that. And that's a small thing. And everything else is a small thing. And in the end, there's nothing left of the real thing. So, it's good to perform austerities, but if it so happens that you're not following even what are the basic things, then I suggest that at least during this month, follow the basic. Actually, I don't want to say that to you. You should follow it all the time. But if you've come down to the miserable level of eating kami food, for instance, or watching TV, going to movies, and all other such activities which are clearly detrimental to devotional service, they have nothing to do with devotional service. Although by philosophical manipulation, it's possible to say, well, anything's good for devotion. You see, I'm a devotee, so if I eat Kit Kat, then the makers of Kit Kat, they'll be benefited. So, so out of my great compassion for them, I'm eating it. I mean, it's possible to philosophize anything, but it's better not to twist the rules, better to stick. You all know what Kit Kat is, right? You know what that is? I asked recently, do they still make Kit Kat? I asked someone recently, because memory from my childhood. So it's a perennial favorite, but it's not conducive for devotional service. It's some kind of chocolate-coated bar with something inside, made by Nestle, is it? Okay. Maybe when I was a kid, it was made by some other company, and they got taken over by someone else. So yeah. That's a suggestion. That more valuable than eating khichdi only once a day with no salt or spices and then going back to Kit Kat and bread, well, I suggest, because some devotees told me, well, we're living such a busy life, so it's convenient. So I suggested, get a bread making machine. Make it yourself. It works out more expensive, but Vishoyer Anna Kaile Molin Hoy Mon. Mon Molin Hoyle Nahe Krishna Smaran. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's statement that if one eats the grains of a non-devotee, then the mind becomes contaminated. And if the mind is contaminated, one cannot remember Krishna. So better to come up to a minimum, the minimum standard set by Srila Prabhupada, rather than thinking, well, in this month I get 1,000 times more benefit, so let's really practice during this month. Then it doesn't matter what I do in the rest of the time. I already did my Kartik Vrata, so that'll keep me going for another 11 months. This is a non-devotional attitude. Anyway, let's remember Krishna during this month. Namami Ishvaram Satyadananda Rupam Nasat Kundalam. What is that? Gokale Brajamanam. We offer our respects to Ishvara, who's the Ishvara of eternity, bliss, knowledge, form, who is resplendent in Gokul with swinging earrings, who is running from Yashoda. It's apparently contradictory, but this contrast is the one of the prime factors that makes bhakti so sweet. That he is the supreme controller, but he's running in fright from Yashoda, who's quicker than him, even though she's quite an old woman, and he's young, but he's too young, so he can't run very fast. Can't run very fast? He's the supreme control, but he's running away. Running away from Mother Yashoda, who catches him. He's frightened. And he's crying. Rubbing his eyes. So just remembering this gives the devotees great pleasure. Krishna comes to this world to enact his pastimes just to give pleasure to the devotee. Otherwise his pastimes are going on. But he comes to this world to invite us. There is a place where we can always live with Krishna's pastime. Otherwise this material world, just like that, this sound of a pneumatic, it's a pneumatic drill, is it? It sounds like a pneumatic drill. Pneumatic drill breaking up, making so much noise and disturbance as it destroys. So the pneumatic drill is maybe epitomizes the material world, but Krishna's pastimes are simply sweet and enticing to the mind of a pure devotee. This is the real observance of Dhamma Dhammans. That yes, perform austerities, chant extra rounds, but if we are to be attracted to the sweetness of Krishna, that will be the perfection of our Krishna consciousness. So during this month in particular, we remember this pastime of Krishna, how he is very naughty. That's why his mother ties him up. She has to run away to take the milk off the stove. You just can't, nowadays you have electric or gas, you just turn it off. Well, with a wood fire, you can't just turn it off. You have to pick up the pot and take it off. So Mother Yashoda, she goes to take the pot. She's wondering what to do, that Krishna's happily sucking my breast. For Mother Yashoda, there's nothing more pleasing to her, that's the perfection of her existence, is to have Krishna at her breast, sucking her breast. This is the topmost position of Matribhav, Matrivatsalya Bhav, the affectionate mood of motherly devotion. But then she thinks that, oh, I left the pot of milk on the stove. What to do? She's only put it there for Krishna. Everything she does is for Krishna. So she has to boil the milk. And then from the boiled milk, there'll be yogurt and ghee. So many things will be made. So to she's thinking, Krishna's very happy. But if the milk boils over, that'll be a disturbance in serving Krishna in future. She especially collects, she has the nicest cows, the nicest milk, all for Krishna. So she puts Krishna aside. To serve Krishna better, she makes Krishna unhappy. And goes to tend the milk. In the meantime, Krishna, he feels rejected. And why is my mother rejected? What is she doing? Who does she think she is? She's supposed to serve me. Now I'll show her. I'll protest. He does a protest. Breaks all the yogurt pot. Then he says, oh no, I'm going to get in trouble. Meanwhile, Mother Yashoda comes and Krishna runs away. She catches him. She can't catch him, but eventually allows her to catch her. Then she tries to tie him. She cannot tie him. Becomes a big effort. And eventually Krishna, out of compassion for her, allows her to tie him. Although no one can tie Krishna. So this contrast between Krishna, the Supreme Controller, and Krishna, who is controlled, who is tied, bhakti bandham, he is tied by pure devotional service. So this remembrance during the month of Kartik, the remembrance of Krishna's sweetness and his coming to this world to perform these pastimes to invite us back, that we don't want, and if we become attracted by Krishna, then we don't want anything, even up to the level of liberation. Namokshe gohomesti damodareha. Even liberation, even that we don't want, but we want to see Mother Yashoda chasing after Krishna, this vision of Krishna. And the whole Leela goes on, how he liberates the Manigriva Nalakuvara. So all these childhood pastimes are very pleasing, and the devotees, they try to capture Krishna, the remembrance of Krishna, by performing these activities. So, yeah, extra rounds should be chanted, extra austerities performed, just for the sake of pleasing Krishna, that may remembrance of Krishna awaken in my heart. May I always remember Krishna. May I have the opportunity to serve the devotees who are serving Krishna in Vrindavan. So Srila Prabhupada, he traveled around the world during the last 12 years of his manifest pastimes, just to remind people about Krishna. So one very good way we can also pass this Kartik month, following in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada, is to redouble our efforts to preach Krishna consciousness. We can go door to door and offer Srila Prabhupada's books in Damodar Desh, as Dubai is christened, renamed Damodar Desh. The devotees there, they've organized teams to go house to house, and in different houses then contact people beforehand and say, we'll come in your house and we'll do Damodar Puja. And they'll tell them it's very auspicious. And they go in their house and then they perform the deep dhanam, offering of lights to Damodar. Bring the picture, and then they explain to them about this, and in this way introduce more people to Krishna consciousness. So that could also be done. Tell people, this is a very auspicious month. People think, oh, is it? Really? Good. Good opportunity for me. Pious people will think like that. Impious people will think, what the hell, I don't care for all this. But pious people will think, very good, so let me follow it during this month. Then the thing to do is, at the end of the month, to follow up with the people and said, so, you've been doing it, and you're feeling pleasure in serving Krishna, and if they're, almost certainly people will do, because Krishna bhakti, it gives pleasure. So then encourage people to go on, and to start associating with devotees, and in this way, preach Krishna consciousness, following in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada during this auspicious month. So these are some suggestions on how to increase our efforts to serve Krishna and remember Krishna during this auspicious month. During this auspicious month, if we increase our activities in devotional service, we'll take advantage of the auspiciousness. Any month, any place is auspicious if we remember Krishna. And if we don't remember Krishna, any month or any place is inauspicious. Of course, Mathura Vrindavan is always auspicious. If we're in Mathura Vrindavan, it's always auspicious, but it's also possible to act in an inauspicious manner even while within Vrindavan and Mathura. So we should take guidance from devotees on how to perform devotional service in this world. Hare Krishna, any comment or question, please? Yeah, this mic is ready. Extra mic. Please put the mic closer to your mouth. I guess it should be between 1 and 3 inches from the mouth. You've got it a little further away now, you won't get much effect unless you put it a little closer. Please put it a little closer.
Okay. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sentence is 64 rounds a day. And the thing is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu not even accepted a full of a devotee who is not chanting 64 rounds.
Really?
What?
Is that a fact?
It's a fact.
Do you know? How do you know?
I know by I have listened from Sachinanda Swami Prabhu.
Well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled throughout India and stayed in people's houses, just like he was in Sri Rangam and many places. He stayed. Was everyone chanting 64 rounds? They were.
And they were not even allowed to go inside the temple.
Really?
Yeah.
But I don't think they were chanting any rounds, a lot of the people Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed with. Well, I'm just analyzing, because in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that I will only eat in the house of a lakpati. That means one who chants a lakh of names daily. That in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's definition. Lakpati, in those days, a lakpati meant a very rich person. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I'll only take food in the house of a lakpati. And the devotees were surprised and disappointed because there weren't any lakpatis among them. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, lakpati means one who chants a lakh of names, which is approximately equal to 64 rounds. So that's recorded in Chaitanya Bhagavat. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that. He stated that while in the circle of his devotees. Later he traveled in various parts of India, especially in South India. And almost all, if not all, the people he stayed with were from different sampradayas. They may not have been Vaishnavas. They wouldn't have been chanting any rounds, at least until Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there. Maybe he introduced them to that. So, I don't think it's true that in all cases Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only took food in the house of people who were chanting 64 rounds. If he was staying in the house of Sri Vaishnavas, they wouldn't be chanting any rounds. They were Vaishnavas, but they weren't chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, 1 lakh of names. So I think either you misheard or someone got their information a little incorrect. Well, what I'm saying is that the record, what is stated in the recording, if we examine from what's stated in Shastra, appears to be a misunderstanding. Sorry, you may not believe me, it's up to you. But anyway, there's no doubt that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did state that he would only eat in the house of people who chant 1 lakh of names. That's there. Whether he actually did that or not, it seems unlikely. Otherwise, how could he travel around India and preach if everyone was already chanting? Who would he preach to? So, yeah.
If a devotee wants to leave devotee's association due to some
If a devotee wants to leave devotee's association, devotees don't want to leave devotee's association. It means that the non-devotional desire has entered his heart and rendered him a non-devotee. Devotee means that he wants to live with devotees. And he thinks it's enough for this lifetime. Now I don't want to do it anymore. Is that it?
Yeah.
What can you do?
So what should we do about it? Should we?
What can you do? You can try and induce them not to. Give them a plate of prasadam. Treat them nicely. But in many cases, if their mind is set, it may be difficult to bring them back. If they've decided that my sense gratificatory plans, I have to fulfill them, then it may be difficult to persuade them otherwise. You can't force people to be Krishna conscious. It's a case of trying to wake up people who are pretending to be asleep. You can preach philosophy. They already know the philosophy. They can probably preach the philosophy better to you. Maybe you should go to them and ask. Here's a suggestion. If someone's thinking of leaving the association of devotees, you can approach them for advice and have them preach to you and say, look, I'm having a lot of problems. Could you advise me how to chant better? And then they'll start preaching to you, and then maybe they'll get fired up and enliven themselves. There's a possibility. How about that? But if you try to preach to them, they're not willing to listen. Yeah, anything else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Like you told that we should not hear the chanting from the non-devotees.
Yeah, we should not hear chanting from non-devotees. I didn't say, I was quoting Srila Prabhupada, who's quoting Sanatana Goswami.
But Prabhu, if someone is chanting, then even a non-devotee can become a devotee.
No, a non-devotee can become a devotee if they hear from devotees.
What I mean to ask is that that we should not hear from non-devotees.
Yeah.
But even if a non-devotee is chanting, then the chanting will affect, you know, he will...
Chanting will affect them. If one is chanting offensively, that will not be the same as chanting purely. There's a difference between the chanting of a devotee who chants, praying to Krishna, please engage me in your service, and the chanting of, for instance, a Mayavadi. Just like there's one, he's become somewhat famous among certain circles in the West, someone who's called Krishnadas, who has popularized the chanting of Hare Krishna among certain circles. But he openly declares, I don't believe that there's any such person as Krishna. So such a person, his chanting is offensive, and it's not going to result. From that chanting, pure love of Krishna will not awaken, because he doesn't want it. He's envious of Krishna. He's chanting Krishna to kill Krishna. Just like Shishupal would say the name of Krishna. But we don't go to Shishupal to get bhakti. So the idea that anyhow, in any way, with any attitude, if one chants the name of Krishna, it's all the same, is not accepted in Shastra by our acharyas. And we factually see that. That there's one person whose his followers call him Bhagawan, who's presently in a wheelchair, who lives quite close to here, and his followers chant Govinda, Gopal, and all such names, but they don't become purified of the offense of considering this rascal and demon to be Bhagawan. If they were actually becoming purified, they should go and kick in his ugly face. But instead, they think that he's Bhagawan. So what is the result of their chanting? They're simply increasing their offenses. By chanting the name Gopal Govinda and thinking that this demon is Govinda and Gopal, they're actually making severe offenses to Govinda and Gopal. And you'll never get pure love of Krishna by associating with such people. Can you understand now? All right.
And Maharaj, one more thing. It is considered an offense to consider chanting for for selfish purposes. Chanting should
for material purposes, you have to chant.
But if we are chanting...
Well, not exactly. The statement is to consider the chanting of Hare Krishna to be equal to performing sacrifices, performing austerities, following vows, vratas, observances. To think that chanting Hare Krishna is a karma kandya activity by which one gets heightened possibilities of material enjoyment, that is one of the offenses against the holy name. So, yeah, well, your point is there, that to mix material desires with devotional service, it blocks the flow of actual devotional service. So Srila Prabhupada, in approximately 1976, the editors of Back to Godhead, which was a very widely circulated magazine at that time, it was like a million copies each print run, in English. So they deliberately started watering down the articles and not putting pictures of Krishna. And instead of putting Krishna, they put God. This was the general tone. They thought, well, let's make it more amenable to people. That they can, if you put Krishna, they might not take it very easily. Let's make it a bit vague. Like, be good, be nice, like this. And not put Krishna very prominently. And in the front of the magazine, it went on for about 2 issues. I remember I was distributing them. And I was also thinking, this isn't as good as the old magazines, which were very straightforward. So in the front of the magazine, they would have something like this. I'm paraphrasing. John Evans, 42, printer, Kansas City, : and then a little picture of him. In the workplace, the stress sometimes becomes unbearable. But when I chant Hare Krishna, I feel great relief. Then you have Brenda Johnson, 38, Oklahoma City, computer operator, : I was having so many problems, but when I chanted Hare Krishna, it seemed like someone turned on the sunshine. Something like this. the idea was to show ordinary people who are chanting Hare Krishna and they're feeling benefit from it. And the idea was to get people to chant. And Prabhupada, when he was shown these magazines, he changed the whole editorial board. Which was a big snub for the devotees who were doing it. They were thinking, this is great preaching, you know, people, we really come up with something good here. And Prabhupada said that we should present chanting a Hare Krishna not for any material benefit, but only for attaining love of God. So there's an anecdote in that regard. Yeah.
Maharaj, you were telling that we should put Krishna's desires in front of
us. Please speak.
We should put Krishna's we should give priority to Krishna's desires. But practically, many times give priority to my own desires.
How do we improve if we're giving priority to our own desires? Come and listen to such classes as this. And get the idea that we're meant for serving Krishna. We're all interested in what's good for me. You're interested in what's good for you. And you think that doing what you want is better than doing what Krishna wants. But if we understand by reading Srila Prabhupada's books and hearing from devotees that my self-interest is to do what Krishna wants me to do, then we shall do so. When we understand that. As long as we think, this is called bhinnadrik, this is called in Srimad Bhagavatam, separate vision. A vision of myself as separate from Krishna. But when we understand that our real self-interest comes from trying to fulfill Krishna's desire, and that if I have any desire separate from Krishna's desire, that is not actually in my self-interest, although it appears to be. When we understand that, then we will act only in the service of Krishna. In the meantime, we may perform austerities like eating only unsalted khichdi during the month of Kartik to decrease the propensity for personal sense gratification. And offer that I'm doing this, Krishna, for your pleasure. Krishna's not particularly pleased if we eat unspiced, unsalted khichdi. That doesn't give particular pleasure to Krishna. But the fact that we're doing that with the aim of decreasing our sense gratificatory tendency so that we can better serve Krishna, that is pleasing to Krishna. And Krishna helps us if we show such seriousness in his service. It's not easy to do if we're accustomed to eating very nice foods daily. Then to eat very bland food for a whole month may be difficult to do. But if we do it with the aim of, let me overcome my desire for enjoying separately from Krishna, and Krishna will be pleased with that, and he'll help us to overcome our lower desires. There's another question, or shall we finish due to the background noise? It's very loud, isn't it? All right, I'll take one more question. Yeah.
Sometimes negative preaching works, like what are the people think? don't remember the context, but Bhaktivinoda says that sometimes the negative teaching works to the people of this world.
Okay.
Sometimes the negative teaching works.
Oh yeah, no, he doesn't say sometimes. He says that he says that Hiranyakashipu better served the cause of Krishna consciousness than did Prahlad. The negative approach is more effective than the positive. So you want to ask about that? Want to ask about that? Well, Prahlad praised Krishna. Prahlad praised Krishna, and various people praise other people. That's going on. So Prahlad praises Krishna, and someone else praises Ganesh, and someone else praises Shiva, and someone else praises Sachin Tendulkar, and someone else praises some cinema star, and the praising is going on. But it was Krishna, Nrsimha, who ripped Hiranyakashipu to pieces and stopped the disturbance in the world. So Hiranyakashipu, in that sense, better served the cause of Vaishnavism than did Prahlad. Someone will praise someone will praise someone else. But it was only Krishna who came to kill Hiranyakashipu. No one else could stop him. So in that sense, Hiranyakashipu better served the cause of Vaishnavism. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's writings are not even composed in a manner that they're meant to be easily understood. As I wrote in the preface to Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, most devotees can better avail the teachings of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati by studying Srila Prabhupada's books. He's deliberately tried to make it easy. Whereas Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, I don't know if deliberately, but it's his presentation is definitely not made to be easy. So we'll finish there. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. On that note, as you're holding the book, Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava, you can introduce the books.